From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here is a precious truth for thee, believer. Thou mayest be poor, or in suffering, or unknown, but for thine encouragement take a review of thy calling and the consequences that flow from it, and especially that blessed result here spoken of. As surely as thou art God's child today, so surely shall all thy trials soon be at an end, and thou shalt be rich to all the intents of bliss. Wait a while, and that weary head shall wear the crown of glory, and that hand of labor shall grasp the palm branch of victory. Lament not thy troubles, but rather rejoice that ere long thou wilt be where there shall be neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The chariots of fire are at thy door, and a moment will suffice to bear thee to the glorified. The everlasting song is almost on thy lip. The portals of heaven stand open for thee. Think not that thou canst fail of entering into rest. If he hath called thee, nothing can divide thee from his love. Distress cannot sever the bond. The fire of persecution cannot burn the link. The hammer of hell cannot break the chain. Thou art secure. That voice which called thee at first shall call thee yet again from earth to heaven, from death's dark gloom to immortality's unuttered splendors. Rest assured, the heart of him who has justified thee beats with infinite love towards thee. Thou shalt soon be with the glorified, where thy portion is. Thou art only waiting here to be made meet for the inheritance, and that done, the wings of angels shall waft thee far away, to the mount of peace and joy and blessedness, where, far from a world of grief and sin, with God eternally shut in, thou shalt rest for ever and ever.
When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your soul,
but just think of stepping ashore, finding it heaven, but touching a hand, and finding it God's, of breathing
blackness of the darkest night. Oh, how lonely death can be. And the Savior's nail-scarred hand will lead you to the light. For death is swallowed up in victory.
But just think of stepping ashore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series from 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Tamassian brings the next portion of a message called Knowing How to Please God. The text is verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Having reminded the Thessalonian believers of their need to make continual progress in love and holiness, the Apostle Paul now exhorts them to focus upon Christ, to know that he is not only Jesus of Nazareth who walked upon the earth, but that he is the Christ of God and the Lord of their lives. As such, he demands their full allegiance and obedience. Paul calls upon these new Christians to emulate those who have been good examples to them. It's always good to remember those who have been spiritual influences in our lives. Most importantly, we are to follow Christ's commands, to follow in his steps. Now here is Pastor Tomassian to continue this message, Knowing How to Please God.
Whenever you read language of the apostle beseeching you, exhorting you by the Lord Jesus, hear the voice of the Master. The stimulus for this exhortation is by the Lord Jesus. It's his will being reflected. It is his mind and its obedience to him that moves us to respond to this exhortation aright. Secondly, the subjects of their emulation. What was the subjects of their emulation? Well, you can see what he writes when he continues, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. As ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. The heart of the exhortation is a call to greater holiness of life. How ye ought to walk and to please God. Again, don't miss what Paul is saying. He is not saying that they are not in any way, that he's not trying to make them see that you're not walking in the Lord's ways. He has repeatedly said the opposite of that, that they are, that they're continuing on, that they're being faithful and so on. But there's always room to follow more. And as I said already, he is not shy to say, look, you're doing great. Keep going on. Push a little further. Now, by his language, it is very clear to me that the believer can walk in such a way to please God. That you can walk in such a way so as to please God. And I know that some will immediately go, but wait a minute. Are we not so full of sin that that's impossible? Is it not impossible for me to please God? Well, how do you reconcile this portion? Clearly, Paul is saying, you can walk in such a way as to please God. You can. And this is how you should walk, in a way that pleases God. So how do we reconcile it? Well, for those that are not in adult Sunday school, Mr. Farr presently is in the chapter that deals with good works, and that chapter is very helpful in addressing this very problem as we might see it. How, if I'm so sinful, if I'm not made perfect in this life, how is it that I can walk in such a way that pleases God? How is that possible? Well, the confession addresses it, all the proof texts that gather in passages like this, but I'll read some of it for you. I'll just pull in some of the sentences that you'll find in chapter 16 of the Confession of Faith, because it teaches there the Christian's, quote, ability to do good works is not at all of themselves, but wholly from the Spirit of Christ. That's the first thing. It's not by you that you're ever going to live in a way that pleases God. So get that clear in your mind. It is not me, by my power, by my wisdom, by my strength, I can please God. It is by the Spirit. Furthermore, our good works, quote, are defiled and mixed with so much weakness and imperfection. So we can do good works by the Holy Ghost, but those good works are still defiled and full of imperfection. Then, paragraph 6 says this, I'll read all of this paragraph. Notwithstanding the persons of believers being accepted through Christ, their good works also are accepted in him. not as though they were in this life wholly unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight, but that he, looking upon them in his Son, is pleased to accept and reward that which is sincere, although accompanied with many weaknesses and imperfections. It is the mediation of Christ. You have the Spirit of God leading you to good works. You have Christ mediating those good works so that you live your life in such a fashion that is pleasing to God. Believers will do good works, and they will do good works that are accepted by God because they originate by the Spirit and are acceptable through our union to Jesus Christ. And that's how you reconcile it, beloved. It's not that you become perfect. It's not that you become where you say you please God, and that means I'm doing everything perfectly like the Lord did himself. You will never reach that level of purity and holiness this side of glory. But, what he has purchased for you, what he has given to you, when the Spirit of God comes into your heart and life, and we might consider some of this tonight, God willing. We dealt with it a little last week, but the Spirit of God comes to empower us to live the Christian life. And through the mediation of Christ, through our union to him, it is possible for us to please God. Now that should be embraced with such zeal that we should be amazed that it is possible that I can please God. And to recognize that it is only through the merits of Christ, only through the blood atonement, only through what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Yes, he gets all the praise. But to condescend and offer a salvation, provide a salvation, where I actually can be considered a person that does good, even though I fall so far short. Scripture speaks of those that were good men. Joseph of Arimathea. In Luke 23 is recorded, he was a good man and a just. Dorcas, in Acts 9, this woman was full of good works. God saw them all, recognized them. Barnabas, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. These are people that please God. They walked so as to please God. They were examples for the church. They were people that others looked up to and said, that person, you could actually say, they please God. Again, you may see their imperfections. You may see their inconsistencies. There would have been times where people may have been able to point the finger and say they're not perfect. But the tenor of their life, as they lived empowered by the Spirit of God, and they gave themselves to obey the Word as they found it, as they understood it, and applied themselves to an obedient life for Christ, it was said, it could be said of them, that they walked in such a fashion that pleased God. I am challenged by this. I hope you are too. Paul sees this young church doing remarkably well. If only every church, every place where he went and tried to plant a church turned out like this, he would be a very joyful servant of the Lord. And in spite of that, be an example to the entire territory. Even with that, he still pushes them a little more. Now, we may claim to be mature in and of ourselves. Some of you have sat under solid, sound, biblical, good teaching for decades. You've been nourished in sound words. And no matter what that has led to with regard to the accomplishment in your life, no matter how that has had its sanctifying work in leading you and pushing you and encouraging you and causing you to serve the Lord in the way that you have or the way that you presently do, there's still room, is there not? So ye would abound more and more. That's what he wants. The apostle wants to see them keep going on. Now, the apostles themselves had exemplified, and this is really the point here, that as you have received of us, you received of us. You saw how we walked, how we lived, what we said. You're living testimonies to the way we conducted ourselves in your midst. You have your memories of, and he talks a lot in this epistle about remember, remember, remember this. And he calls them to remember. And they would remember with fond memories these individuals who came with a message that was liberating and life transforming and turned their entire world around. For some of them, it was no doubt only positive. For some of them, there were consequences to obeying Christ, and they would have been excluded from their families and cut off from loved ones, and there would have been lots of suffering as a result of their commitment to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But there was no regrets. And they saw these men come. And again, the apostle, who no doubt was a primary example to the early church, his commitment, his love, his obedience, his service, his holiness of life, well, that is all beyond question. And when we look at his life, and we look at him speaking autobiographically, referring to his own experience, and you go to Philippians chapter 3 and you read down through the language there and you see a man who's not content. I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not the finished article. I'm not the perfect person. There's only one perfect man. And so I press toward the mark. I push on. I drive forward. But Paul was not content to live such a life where he would elevate himself above all others and leave them in the dark and in ignorance as to how the Christian life should be lived, and live in some throne of pride as to the achievements of him in terms of his sanctification and holiness. That was never his goal or his aim. His goal is to bring people with him, to lift the church up, to lift the people of God up, to bring all the believers along with him in this journey of progressing to become more like the Lord Jesus. And so his heart beats, longs for the forward movement of every individual child of God. He wants them to join with them. He longs for them to enter into the burden, to have this desire to keep pressing on, beloved. No matter what you've attained, no matter what you've achieved, no matter how the Lord and his grace has made you an example to others, don't sit there and become complacent. Keep going on. This is the exhortation from the Lord. You received it of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Oh, that you would abound more and more. Paul says to them, everything you remember from what we did and what we said, put it into practice more and more. All the instruction, all the example, put it into practice more and more. Now, believer, think of the examples you've had in your life. Godly parents, godly grandparents, godly individuals in your life and other areas that in the providence of God have been brought across your path. Think of them all. Let the most eminent of them arise in your memory. Let the words and instruction you receive from them come back to your heart. Let the dedication of their lives be a present example for you, even today. Let it all come back, and as you've received of them how you ought to walk and to please God, abound more and more. Abound more and more. Are there things that you were taught that you have perhaps forgotten, things that you were instructed in that you have left by the wayside? An example that was before you that you always intended to follow, but you've never really given yourself to. Let that come with challenge again to your heart. God so mercifully often puts people in our lives that are forever etched in our memory as examples for us to follow. And even though they may but presently be just a memory for us, having already attained the reward and gone to glory, yet their memory continues to speak to us and to challenge us. And this is how Paul is directing the minds of this church. He did the same to the Philippians when he says in Philippians 4 verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Every way you've been taught, all that you've heard, all that you've seen, do it. Keep it at the forefront of your mind. Keep it always before you. Don't forget. Don't commit the sin of forgetting. Remember the example. Remember the fervor. Remember the diligence. Remember the love. Remember the concern. Remember the hard work. Remember it all that is good and positive and exemplary, and let it come with challenge to your heart. Let it cause you to abound more and more. Abound more and more.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.